through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Welcome into hour number two of Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Jake, I have a question.
Okay, yes.
I have a question, Jake.
I am happy to answer, my friend.
All right. I'm watching the commercials last night. There were a handful of good ones. I thought, you know, every year it's half of them are good, half of them aren't. Fine. The one that I really liked was, and I don't think we have it here, was one where, was it Rachel Dratch? Is that her name from SNL? She and a couple of people were up in Boston doing the Smart Pack Car.
Yes.
It's a Smart Pack Car. I thought that was pretty funny.
Chris Evans.
Right, right. But my question is, why do they need to save that commercial for the Super Bowl? Why can't they use that one like year-round?
It's a great question. Honestly, when you're saying this to me right now, it's hitting me. It's like, why do they wait for all of their creative juices for the Super Bowl? Is it just because they know they're going to have the most viewership?
Maybe.
In that one day? But honestly, I mean, you think about it from like a production standpoint, all the money that they put into that one day, is that worth just putting together great commercials all the time and running them throughout the year?
Right. Well, some of them you have to pay big money for celebrity appearances, and there's all kinds of CGI effects that, you know, make the commercial just this crazy spectacle of something or other. And that I can understand for the Super Bowl. But when you just have a couple of whoever's hanging around looking at a car, I mean, you could do that any time of year and run it and have it turn into like a classic.
It absolutely could. And even, you know, look, you had John Krasinski, you had Chris Evans, David Ortiz even gives you a little bit of a cameo.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where, yeah, even if you just had a couple regular Joes talking like this, it would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
That to me was, I think that was my favorite commercial out of all of them. The Jason Momoa one was pretty great. But I loved the, you know, park your car.
Dorchester.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. The one that opened the show where they kept saying, take it to the house, kid, where the kid with like the Odell Beckham haircut.
Oh, yes.
Was getting the football back. Yeah. Like, time and time again, he was running. Finally, he made it to the stadium, and then they picked it up live. I thought that was kind of a nice start to the show. Yeah, that was cool, too. The one with Sam Elliott and the guy who said, what's that song where he says, I'm going to ride my horse to
Old Town Road. Nas X.
The Old Town Road, right.
Yes.
Where they were like squaring off, or, you know, for a duel at dawn. That was pretty good, too.
Who is that actor? Who is that actor that he was?
Sam Elliott.
Yeah, Sam Elliott. Okay.
The guy with the really deep voice.
Yeah, when Nas X did, you know, the arm wave type thing,
right,
and then
his
mustache does the wave, that cracked me up. That was awesome.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I thought it was a decent night of commercials, decent halftime show, and really a pretty good game. I gave it a B+. Like, I guess if we're grading it, the only thing I thought it lacked was one big iconic moment. I thought you had a couple of pretty big moments, the Hill completion, the Williams, the last run that kind of sealed it there. Maybe the final play of the game, and we're going to go through a handful of these in a second. But I don't know that we're necessarily going to remember any one of those plays. It's like, oh, yeah, remember that moment 5 years ago in that Chiefs 49ers Super Bowl? I thought it kind of lacked that. Plus, there weren't really many blunders. I know Salk didn't like how Shanahan handled the end of the half. Neither did I. But if anybody remembers that a couple of years from now, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, obviously the San Francisco 49er faithful will, but
I agree
that it may not be the most remembered thing other than the storyline for Shanahan. Unfortunately, now we talked about that being the case for Andy Reid in terms of game management. Kyle Shanahan has had a much better run in his early career, but you look at, hey, this kind of follows you. The Atlanta Falcons situation, that's not all on him being the offensive coordinator, but still, you know, you were directing an offense that was a part of that, you know, a huge error in being able to seal the New England Patriots. And now as a head coach, you have a 10-point lead and you give that up at the end of the fourth quarter. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a narrative, unfortunately, that comes out of it for him that'll last a little bit longer. But I agree, there wasn't really a star moment that just really resonates with you. Even for Mahomes himself, you know, there wasn't just this one play that's just going to always be with you,
right?
You know, when you think of this game.
I used to think the lyrics to that song, by the way.
Old Town Road?
Yeah, where I'm going to ride my horse to the hotel room.
You did not.
No, you did it, Tom.
I'm not kidding.
D.A. can't hold me back.
No, no, no. Remember, Kyle? Remember that one day I was in with
the hotel room?
Yeah.
Oh, take my horse to the hotel
room. That
doesn't
make any sense.
Neither do
Wait,
like
what
most
is Old Town
things.
Road? I mean...
Yeah.
What does make sense?
Well, it makes more sense to have a horse on a road instead of a hotel room.
That's true. That's a great
point. Okay, fair point.
I'm going to ride my horse to the hotel room. I'm going to...
No.
Ride until I can't no more. All right, hit the music, DJ. Enough of this tomfoolery. We start in the fourth quarter.
Launches down the middle. Hill, open, caught. And they get it, Kansas City.
All right, so we got Fox TV highlights here for you. Obviously, they're not as descriptive as radio highlights because we're not the rights holders, but that's okay. By the way, that 44-yarder that they connected with that we just heard there, does that happen if they... I mean, it can't happen, I guess, if they give Hill the previous completion, if they don't overturn that. Because he got a first down on the
right.
Previous, what would have been a completion, but it was a lot shorter because he was on the ground. But then they looked at it because Shanahan wanted it looked at. They saw that it hit the ground, so they were backed up, had to run the play again. And then they got an even bigger play.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they lucked out, basically, that challenge went against them.
It did, and you know, the other side of it is, you know, maybe you start sustaining a big drive like that, but that 44-yard completion, I mean, that's a huge chunk play to get you going.
And then...
Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown! Kansas City jumps on top!
That's a great play design in terms of understanding exactly the 49ers defense and how it works and what works against them. Essentially, what ended up happening was you have two things, and I'll have to watch the actual film when it's released to get the exact answer here. But in that situation, they're either going to be playing man coverage, where then that would be the safety's responsibility and he got picked, or they're playing their normal cover three zone and Richard Sherman gets influenced because he sees the corner crashing down on a slant route. And is trying to make sure that slant isn't wide open for a touchdown. And then you have the running back leaking out to the flat, and he just gets there too late. So, you know, in terms of who goes to blame there, I can't quite give that. But it's game of inches in terms of Richard Sherman being able to keep Damian Williams
held
out
up.
Of the end zone or not.
Sorry, it's held up on review. Did you guys think he was in?
I did.
Because I did.
You didn't?
For that touchdown? Yeah,
yeah.
I did.
I thought by the point of the ball crossing the goal line, I mean like crossing just barely, I thought was probably in line with him just before he went out of bounds.
I might have been mostly convincing myself, but I was in the bar yelling, "Look at the shadow!"
Stacey, I thought the same thing. But
I did! Look at the shadows across the goal line!
They never really gave a good behind the end zone angle with the ball coming towards you.
There's just not enough to overturn it, though. And there have been touchdowns like that. We would all say that there have been touchdowns like that during the season where it's one of those things that every team has gotten away with and every team has had done to them.
That's true. But if they called that, if they called them out of bounds there,
right,
that gets held up. So, I mean, was it in? I don't know.
Can I answer this question? How are they a massive industry, a $14 billion plus business, and they don't have specific cameras, doesn't have to be a part of the broadcast, but specific cameras that are over the goal line on both sides of each end zone? How is that not even a possibility?
A camera, like if you imagine the pylon as a little square, one camera is on the pylon that is parallel to the goal line, and then the other one's looking down the out of bounds, so you can see
kind of
the
have
exact,
an X, Y axis.
Yeah, you can see the exact moment the ball crossed.
Are you saying
wow.
Probably
are
more
successful
no
than Are you saying on
no
the pylon?
This. I'm patenting it. What?
Are you talking about on the pylon?
On the pylon.
Well, the problem that you have there,
if
though,
someone
is you
touches
don't,
the top of the pylon.
No, you just don't see where the ball is because the ball is above the pylon.
Let's get a tall pylon, then we get a separate pylon that's 5 feet tall. No, this isn't working. Come on.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
we'll keep workshopping that.
I just destroyed your creation there. I'm
check
sorry.
Back at 2:30. Stacey will have an answer.
I'm going to go back to clear toasters. Clear toasters was the was the first idea. That one was smarter.
Can't they just get like a microchip or something?
It would be a great, great thought.
That would make a lot of sense, Tom. Yeah.
They just don't have enough money. They don't have enough money to
buy. Yeah, they do. No, they $14 billion.
This is back to last week when I said a North Korean basketball's got like rim cam.
Right.
Then the NFL should have everything.
All right, so that was a touch. That made it 2017, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Sammy Watkins beats Richard Sherman.
Second down and 7. Mahomes. Watkins. What a throw. Sammy Watkins out of bounds near the 11.
Sammy Watkins, by the way, after, do you see him after the game at the podium?
No.
I forget if he was at the podium or if he was with the NFL network crew. But he was demonstrative, almost on the verge of tears.
Aww.
Just, this is the best moment of my life. I've overcome so much. You know, I had such a rocky start in this league. He was just, he was a guy who clearly knew what he was a part of in that moment. I was really happy for him. Because he's a guy who has really been up and down. I mean, his start in Buffalo, he was supposed to be this great thing. Then he went out to, he went to San Francisco. He's been kind of a journeyman for a while, actually.
He's the Rams.
Right. And here he is. He ends up here, makes a huge play over Sherman.
Also said another really interesting comment after the game. He said that he had studied Devontae Adams beating Richard Sherman on that same release, same route in the NFC Championship game, and credited that film study in Devontae Adams. Said he knew in that moment he had to use that release on Sherman, same route, burned him again.
So then the 49ers get the ball. They can do nothing with it. Chiefs get the ball back.
Now 2nd and 6. Williams makes a cut and will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. No flags.
By the way, in between there, the Chiefs scored a touchdown, right?
Yes. 2017, they go down after that Sammy Watkins.
After the Sammy Watkins, then they score.
Yeah, 5-yard pass to Damian Williams, the one that we were just talking about,
right,
in terms of the goal line, him crossing. So, you know, going back to that one goal, that goal route by Sammy Watkins, that release that you're talking about, Kyle, I mean, inside release, it just goes to show great film study and that it's not just about athleticism in the moment, but it's about the preparation. And Richard Sherman also in those last two drives really going into a press situation and trying to play press man instead of playing his normal cover three zone type of technique, which would have fared a lot better for him in these situations.
Right now, we are in four down territory.
This is four down territory
with Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
We live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it. Take it.
Jake, what did Kyle Shanahan's play calling and management of the game tell you?
What it told me is a couple things. Is one, when you look at the management of the game in terms of the end of the first half, I really feel that Kyle Shanahan did not have a ton of trust in Jimmy Garoppolo. And as you look at the game, you see in the second half they pass the ball more than they did run. And you say, well, Jake, that kind of inhibits what you just said. Well, in actuality, though, in the game, they never, ever threw the ball, except for one time that called a pass interference for George Kittle, outside the numbers deep down the field. Everything that Kyle Shanahan dialed up was short to intermediate within the number, within the hash marks, and really is trying to protect Jimmy Garoppolo and what he is physically capable of doing. And he does a great job in terms of designing plays, but in clutch moments like the end of the half, or at the end of the game, in terms of being able to open up your playbook, he did not feel confident in Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to do so. If he has a Russell Wilson type of player, that playbook's going to look a lot different. Those calls are going to look a lot different. And at the end of the half, you're going to be aggressive. I guarantee you, you're going to revel the opportunity to get the ball at the end of the half like he did and not even worrying about the other team having three timeouts because you're that confident that you're going to score. So to me, I think that Shanahan was more so playing towards his quarterback and his strengths or lack thereof than anything else.
Second down. Stacey, who were some of the unheralded heroes from the Super Bowl last night?
You know, this goes into that conversation about who should be MVP. I actually think it makes sense to have Patrick Mahomes as MVP. He didn't have a good game at all through three quarters, but did a lot to help you win in the fourth. And that includes not just those big plays like that 44-yarder to Tyreek Hill, but scrambles to get a first down, some good stuff in there. But you have to shout out Damian Williams, who had 104 rushing yards, 29 receiving yards, and a rushing and receiving touchdown. He had a phenomenal game. Defensive lineman Chris Jones had three passes defended. I think he's a defensive tackle, so he's on the inside there. Those were huge plays, too, batting down those balls at the line of scrimmage. And finally, Eric Bieniemy, who was inspired by the 1948 Rose Bowl, a play Michigan ran against USC. That whole choreographed kind of spin move they did, that shift before, so that Williams could take a direct snap. They ended up converting on a fourth down. Got to first and goal, ran it in on the subsequent play. And the idea of reaching back in to a Rose Bowl game from 1948 to dig that out and kind of say, you know what, this was really interesting, let's do that. It's how some of those really great creative minds work. It's such a fun way to look at football. It's a fun thing for folks that just like football history to look at and say, oh, that's awesome. But it's a really creative thing to do, and I think he deserves more credit than he's gotten for this season for the Chiefs.
He said he was reluctant to actually tell where that came from.
Because people might.
Right. Now it's like, hey, wait a minute. Maybe we should all dig into the past.
Well, it was interesting because he said that they had been working on it throughout the season. So yeah. they didn't just game plan it as part of their plan against the 49ers. It was something they'd thought of and they'd practiced and they thought, this is cool, but when are we going to roll it out?
Isn't
and then
it funny?
You roll it out in a fourth down attempt in the Super Bowl.
Interesting. You come prepared for situational football and critical moments of the game. You've been working on
Here
stuff
go,
the entire
Jake.
Year.
What?
And you know exactly what you want to go to in those moments, so there's no delay of game or no extra timeouts that are being taken. That is beautiful work by the Kansas City Chiefs. It is not related. My emotions are not related to anything.
Not
else.
At all. Not at all.
What, are you jealous?
Yeah. I am.
Checked. Third down.
I thought we were doing our Let Russ Cook chant.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
I wish you had done it by yourself. So bad.
Let Russ Cook.
Let Russ Cook.
Let Russ Cook. Okay.
Why were the Chiefs running the ball more, particularly in the first half?
Well, it was funny because I think a lot of Twitter, and especially nerd Twitter, they
Whoa.
Were upset that the Kansas
Are you
City
shove
Chiefs,
us in lockers,
that
Jake?
They were upset that they, well, they proclaim themselves as this. This is not a term that I'm giving them to be a bully. They proudly put themselves as this. They were upset that the Chiefs were running the ball so much. It was like, okay. But the reality is what do you do to slow down a terrific pass rush in the 49ers? You try and run the football. And you try and run it at them a little bit. And I think that they did a great job of being able to play the game and be able to attack the 49ers. And they had some successful runs at given times that really opened things up for them. But at the end, now you get into these situations in 6 minutes left to go in the game where the 49ers, they're tired. You get a big play, and now you start really getting to capitalize on that. If you're Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy called a very good game all the way throughout and really did a good job in terms of game planning for how the 49ers defense, particularly how they like to work and operate.
Bunch of nerds. Fourth down. Now that Andy Reid has himself a title, who's the next best head coach without a Super Bowl ring? You're talking active?
Talking active. Active coaches. Right now, I would have to point to really the young guns in this situation. I think you're looking at Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. I think you're really looking at some of those young, innovative guys that really are amongst some of the best coaches in the NFL right now. You take a deep dive into the NFL right now. I mean, there's not really a lot of guys like Andy Reid that are out there. I mean,
right.
You know, maybe you throw out Ron Rivera, someone like that who is a very good head coach in this league, but is he really truly one of the greats? Will he go down as one of the greats?
I'll give you one.
I don't know about that.
Oh, wait a minute. He already won one. Never mind.
Who were you thinking?
Gruden.
Yeah. Oh.
He already won.
That's who came to my mind immediately, but then I was like, no, Tampa Bay. Come on now.
And then McCarthy won, Tomlin won,
yes.
Peyton won.
Yes. It has really turned to... You know, John Harbaugh won. Like, it's really the young guys and they how quickly that narrative. I mean, think about it. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, if they win a Super Bowl, those guys are already going to be proclaimed as the next greatest thing.
Well,
they already have been. So I think that would really cement their careers in terms of the path that they are going on.
Yeah.
Maybe the other guy, that you look at as the Minnesota Vikings and Zimmer.
But
yeah, Bruce
really,
Arians. We got our boy Bruce a ring.
But everybody else.
I'm okay with that.
Everybody else that we're looking at here has been around like 1 to 4 years.
Correct.
Well, yeah, because there was such a big drop off between how successful Andy Reid had been and not had that championship versus everyone else. Because he's one of the top, when we looked at the top 10 winningest NFL head coaches ever, only two are active head coaches, which is Belichick and Reid.
Right. So to have that kind of pedigree, it's really hard to find. And anybody that's really been worth anything as a head coach in this league has already kind of won a Super Bowl. And so now it's really that next tier of guys that you can say could come down to being a Hall of Fame type of coach at the end of their career. It's really, to me, those two guys that stand out the most, and yet their career has a long way to go before they get anywhere near the same type of resume of Andy Reid.
Finally, Sean McVay has won a Super Bowl.
Right. He's waited so long. He's almost 35.
These Los Angeles Rams fans have longed to hear it. I don't think so. I mean, I look at Dan Quinn. He's been to one. But he hadn't even been there that long.
Right. But who is the question? Who's the next best head coach without a Super Bowl ring? Right? I mean, that's the premise of the question.
Next best is what you're saying. Not like most deserving.
Not most deserving. Next best. And Andy Reid was without question just there all in a category on his own for quite a long time. You know, he would be the clear-cut answer for how many years?
You know who I like?
509 says, what about Jason Garrett? Jake.
Yeah, he's on my team.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
You know,
Jason
Garrett
does not even come close to making that list.
You know who might be the second best? I mean, if we're talking other than Shanahan, is Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel could be, yeah.
We're just talking about the second. Again, he's only been there a short time.
Right.
So it's not like it's most deserving. And by the way, how many rings does he have as a player? He's got at least three.
He does, yes.
So,
but he could be one of those guys that does become one of the rising stars in this profession and ends up being, you know, at the caliber of, you know, the Pete Carrolls and Andy Reid and Sean Payton's over the years. I mean, like I said, you know, time will tell. But you look at Vrabel's another good one. Vrabel, Shanahan, McVay, those are three coaches that I think that will be around a long time. Maybe not with one franchise, but they'll be around a long time.
There was one guy that went into the Hall of Fame this weekend that I feel like made some Seahawks fans bitter. Why was that? We'll talk about it next, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show, it's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
We have to start here because the kid's back in the control room.
Accurate in two words.
Are talking about this this miscarriage of justice with the MVP.
It's fascinating.
Aside from the two touchdowns, one of which was kind of fluky, what impact did Damian Williams have on the comeback itself?
He sealed it with that last touchdown.
But I don't think that makes him the MVP. Patrick Mahomes did everything up until that point. And then Williams got the ball, and he got his arm over the thing.
I mean, he had
both runs.
That to
me doesn't say MVP, though.
He converted a fourth down. That run was on him to convert fourth down.
Which one?
And then ran it in. The one where I was just talking about in four down territory, that kind of trick play on fourth down, that was Williams to convert and take it to the 1 yard line. And then he ran it in on the subsequent play was a pass to Kelsey, right?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
I just don't think that he did enough to take it away from Patrick Mahomes, who in the last 6 minutes of the game was the one who engineered the comeback. I know he had a rough three quarters, but you don't win that game without Patrick Mahomes. You can win it without Damian Williams.
I don't disagree with that, but it was fascinating. And Howdy said he would look this up to double check, but that they vote on who might be the MVP for both teams before the start of the fourth quarter.
So, yes, according to a Washington Post article written by Neil Greenberg yesterday, the large majority of the votes are determined by the 16 members of the PFWA, Pro Football Writers Association, at the start of the fourth quarter, remains open through the game.
Okay.
And they got it right.
So if you're remaining open through the game, I do agree that Damian Williams' last run, it is part of the stat sheet. It is part of, you know, a big moment that seals the game for you. But at that moment in time, they were more so in, you know, they just needed a first down. They just needed a first down to seal and win the game.
If they didn't have Damian Williams there, they could have gone to somebody else.
They could have.
That's all there is to it.
They could have, but it doesn't mean that that other person's going to get it done like Damian Williams.
I mean, that last run he had, he did break a big tackle.
I'll argue for that point of Damian Williams.
Like, Damian Williams is the only guy who can make that play?
Maybe not, but maybe
you're not guaranteed someone else does.
Exactly.
I think you have to say it's a good run.
Yeah.
He wasn't wide open. Like, he didn't have a totally open lane.
That's also saying, well, they've got Chris Carson. You could just put Rashad Penny or CJ Procise in there. He could do the same thing.
I don't think so. I don't think those situations are analogous at all. I think Kansas City has way better weapons than Seattle does.
Not at running back. I mean, Damian Williams is like
you could do a jet sweep to Hill and have him run it in.
Yeah, sure. We could just have him do it.
Have him do that thing from 1949 or whatever that
right.
was.
Yeah, I think Damian Williams definitely had a big impact in this game, but I do agree with the premise that Patrick Mahomes, although he played as bad as he did for the first three quarters of the game, I mean, bad. I mean, two really bad interceptions by him. His final 6 minutes, the impact of that and his influence on that game is the reason why the Kansas City Chiefs ultimately win. So
I understand
the controversy, but I do think it was rightfully earned for Mahomes to be the MVP.
Howdy made a good point when he was explaining that, which is that if you vote on Patrick Mahomes and just say, all right, San Francisco's leading this game, we're going to vote for Patrick Mahomes because no one else has done much of anything yet, and you're all but guaranteed, maybe this won't be the case, but you're all but guaranteed that if the Chiefs win, it will be because of Mahomes. I thought
exactly.
That made sense, that Howdy said.
Right, because what other offensive player is going to just all of a sudden go off and take over the game?
Right, and
Patrick
it might
Mahomes.
Happen, but then you switch it to that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next. UW lost to Arizona State 87-83, but did anybody notice?
No, I didn't notice, actually. I completely forgot because my sole attention was on the Super Bowl. But then when I started getting ready for today and looking at Husky Hoops and the fact that they lost, I mean, yikes. I mean, what is the storyline going to be at the end of the year right now? I mean, the season's over. You're not playing any postseason. You're not even going to give yourself a chance to go into NIT at this point.
Coach Hopkins coaching for his job next year. Mark it down.
Which is crazy considering that he was just like a coach of the year.
Two times in a row.
Yeah.
Two times in a row.
You
know what, though?
Those awards, time, though?
No, those awards are so tenuous anyway. I mean, look, he got the team into the tournament as a 9 seed. They won that one game, got blown out by Carolina. You can't hold on to that like it's your calling card. Like, hey, look what we did. When you go the next year with a bunch of freshmen who have not learned from all of these blown leads. That's your job to coach them and to make them learn from that. When they're repeating the same mistake over and over and over, that's on the coach, not on the players.
So do you think it's more coaching? Do you think it's more recruiting? Do you think it is? To me, I look at both of them and wonder, although you were able to, hindsight, look back and say, man, you were able to bring in an incredible recruiting class, did you bring in the right guys?
There's a coach somewhere in this country that could do a much better job with the five that they've got on the floor, with the starting five every single game.
So are you ready to throw out Hopkins as a coach?
No. I think he needs a do-over. I think he's learning, too. He's never been a head coach in this situation. I think he needs to learn.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he's always been regarded as one of the best assistants in the country.
Yep.
He came in and was able to do a great job his first two seasons. And now, as a coach, you know, this is your first experience of really, truly going through adversity as a head coach. And now how do you bounce back from it? How can you finish? And what can you do the following year is going to be very, very telling.
Make the tournament in the Pac-12. I know the Pac-12 is a little bit better than it has been the last couple of years, but this isn't exactly the ACC. If you're finishing last in this conference, I mean, come on. What possible excuses can you make? You can't.
There's none other than saying that the players that you recruited and brought in were completely detrimental to what you were trying to do. And
yeah, but you that, still get blamed for that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the only excuse that you can provide. And even that's not a good excuse. That's not that's completely on you as the coach.
Next. Steve Hutchinson was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. No, that made a lot of Seahawks happy, or excuse me, Seahawk fans happy, reminding everybody of the 2005 team. That left side of that line, Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones, just flat out scary. I mean, Sean Alexander's got to be like the luckiest running back of all time. Run left, right?
Oh, that offensive line was incredible. Robbie Toback, Steve Hutchinson, yep. Walter Payton. I mean, that
Walter
is...
Jones.
Oh, sorry.
Did
Walter
I say
Jones.
Walter Payton? I may have.
Walter sorry. Jones. I can't believe I said that. that to me is one of the best offensive lines that you could have had, especially on the left side. Absolutely incredible. And that is a massive reason why Sean Alexander became an MVP. I mean, just running to that side was incredible. I mean, 2005. I mean, if you needed anything, hand the ball off to Sean Alexander and run to the left side.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Seahawks, his contract featured a poison pill that the Seahawks couldn't match. If he wasn't the team's highest paid lineman at any point in the contract, the entire contract would be fully guaranteed. They already had signed Walter Jones to a bigger deal. Hutchinson ended up going to the Vikings. He should have been here a lot longer than that. Unfortunately, it didn't really work out that way. But congrats to Steve Hutchinson. Certainly, one of the all-time greats. I saw some people who had problems with Steve Atwater getting in there. Steve Atwater as a hard hitter was like, he was such a hard hitter, and you can ask Dave Wyman about him in the early 90s, that he probably wouldn't even be allowed to play today.
That was interesting to think about that with any of those.
Sure.
Any to wonder.
Yeah. I mean, Atwater won the Super Bowl twice with the Broncos, yeah. Although he was past his prime at that point. But before that, man, I mean, he was a menacing, menacing safety. Isaac Bruce gets in. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers who I think they've got big stats, but can you tell the story of the NFL without Isaac Bruce? I think you can.
Yeah, possibly, but he is
Edger and James.
He is one of the greatest receivers on one of the greatest offenses in NFL history.
Would you put Torrey Holt ahead of him, though? I think I would.
I would, yeah. I mean, Torrey Holt, to me, I mean, his longevity in the NFL and going past the greatest show on turf, I mean, he was an incredible receiver. But Isaac Bruce was great in his own right as well. I mean, he was, when you had Torrey Holt and you had Isaac Bruce was still your number one receiver, you know, in that mix.
Yeah, because Holt was still a young player. Bruce was very good going into that. I guess maybe when that team was at their best, Bruce was their number one.
Yes.
And Holt became their number one later once things started to kind of go downhill a little bit.
Correct.
But yeah. He may still get in.
I think Torrey Holt's got a great shot to get in. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, great longevity, great production, a technician in every sense of the word. Yeah, I think he's got a great chance. But going back to Steve Atwater, he's one of those throwback safeties. You know, when you look at Cam Chancellor was a freak of nature being at 230-some pounds, but Atwater, 6'3", 218, menacing. I mean, he downhill, those types of safeties, just they're hard to come by in today's NFL. You look at Jimmy Ward, and he's a physical guy, but he's coming down and laying the boom on Patrick Mahomes and getting hurt almost every time he's doing it. Those types of safeties, it's hard to come by in today's NFL.
Did Tom Brady just fake us all out? What was going on with his Super Bowl commercial? We'll talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
What were your favorite Super Bowl commercials last night?
Mine, personally?
Yeah, I saw you tweet out about the Jason Momoa. Now, is he Aquaman?
He's Aquaman. He's also Khal Drogo, for any Game of Thrones fans. I was going to say spoiler.
Yeah, don't do that for our listeners.
That's where I first saw him, but he also plays Aquaman. I thought that commercial was the funniest. I was at a bar, so I didn't catch the sound for all of them, but I saw the, what is it, the Pac one?
The Smot Pack.
Smot Pack. I saw that one after. That was funny.
That was good. But the Jason Momoa one, I thought as he kept getting skinnier and skinnier, I thought he was going to pull his own head off and turn into something else or somebody.
No, but I like that he pulled the hair off and
right.
was like bald.
Right,
bald at the top and had the long hair.
It and was the just, skinny arms. I was like, oh man.
It was. I thought it was hilarious, but I thought it was really creepy too. I was just like, man, what is going on? This is so funny and so weird at the same time. Like, I don't like it.
I thought it was great. I mean, this guy's like known for being. It's like if Dwayne The Rock Johnson did that. I mean, at the Golden Globes, Jason Momoa was wearing like a white tank top.
By the way, what's the easy way to refer to The Rock? Do you call him Dwayne The Rock Johnson? You call him
Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson, or do you call him The Rock?
I call him Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
Do most people?
I feel like that way I'm recognizing his acting accolades.
As well as his wrestling
history.
Stacey clarifies that she's not talking about Alcatraz. So who's The Rock?
What is
The Rock?
Exactly.
Welcome
Dwayne
to The Rock,
the Rock
Welcome
Johnson.
To the Rock.
Yeah.
All right, so now we need to get down to the bottom of this Tom Brady Hulu ad, because I came in here today thinking that he confirmed that he's going to be a Patriot once again. Take a listen.
They say all good things must come to an end. That the best just know when to walk away. So to my teammates, my family, and most of all, my fans, you deserve to hear this from me. Hulu doesn't just have live sports.
Okay, so now he goes through the whole pitch. Get Hulu, download Hulu, yada, yada, yada. And then it ends.
I'm not going anywhere.
Money. We call this trolling.
Okay, you know what? Having listened to that now a few times, I think that you guys are right that he's saying I'm not retiring. But my question is, when did anybody think he was going to retire? We've not talked about that at all. All we've talked about is him switching teams.
I think people outside of that maybe aren't hardcore sports fans thought he might retire.
And also,
he's older.
It is true. But also at the end of every year, I mean, you look at Drew Brees going through this process right now, and he says, look, I have to think about this. I have to take some time to think about my decision, whether I'm going to retire, whether I'm going to play.
I'm not going anywhere.
Shut up, Tom.
And Tom Brady and Tom Brady sitting there and saying, look, I need some time to reflect and think. And that's part of the process for him every single year at this point. But I do agree that I had very little doubt that he was going to not retire. He was going to continue to play. And that was a matter of what team he was going to play for. And this is a way for Tom Brady to continue to stir the pot. You know, what does it mean? What does it not mean? And he is in Gillette Stadium, but it's black and white. If he was declaring that he was going to be back with the Patriots, I think there would have been more
signage.
It would have been more obvious.
I'm Robert Kraft, and I approve this message.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think you're probably right. I mean, he's 42 years old. He's going to be 43 in August. He said he wants to play till he's 45.
I'm not going anywhere.
Shut up.
reports are coming out saying that the Patriots are willing to pay Tom Brady over $30 million
right.
this year.
That's true.
So, hey, all those, you know, scenarios of Tom Brady playing somewhere else, you can forget about it. You can forget about it. Because he's going to stay in Boston. I'm not quite sold on that.
He's going to stay in Boston?
Did you guys hear that too?
I'm
Jake
not going anywhere.
All of a sudden said Boston.
That's right. It was on purpose.
With
because
a smock
like
cock.
He says Philadelphia.
Because I've watched too much. I watched too much of the Smotcock commercial.
Smotpack.
I love it.
Hey, you know one thing we do need to point out about this game? There was no octopus.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, you're
there was
right.
No
I didn't
octopus.
Even...
Now think about it. If the game had gone on, if there were another 5 minutes, and I almost said San Francisco, and Kansas City had an 11-point lead, San Francisco may have had to go for an octopus.
They would.
So just so everyone knows, we were talking about prop bets last week, and all three of us, for the very first time, learned about what's called an octopus, which is when the same receiver or running back is part of scoring a touchdown and a successful 2-point conversion. I didn't know this was a real thing. So now, not only did we learn about what it is, but I thought we had all agreed to use it during the huddle when the new Seahawks season starts at some point during the season. We have to drop it into an interview.
We do have to drop it into an interview. We have to bring it up with players.
We have to say it like we know what we're talking
actually
about.
Would probably, if we ever get Brian Schottenheimer or Pete Carroll on our show,
we
should drop that on.
Did you ever think about going for an octopus there? Or yeah. Was that not?
Have you guys worked on your octopus situations, you know, when you guys are behind and you guys need to get
So when do you think it's right to go for an octopus versus not?
How often do you think about cephalopods?
We all look at him dead seriously. Well,
so Shawnee,
what do you think, man?
I would love to see that reaction.
It's going to happen. So
okay, all right, we're going to make it happen.
You know what? The best thing that can happen to the Seahawks next year for the 49ers to have for the 49ers to become what the Rams were this year
to have How a so? Super Bowl hangover. Is
Super
that what
Bowl
you mean?
Hangover, fall backwards. Into the ditch while the Seahawks take over once again. We'll talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.